You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Uh-oh. Where'd the love go?
It's all love.
All fair speculation.
Why did I catch a stray?
But I'm not Kevin Durant, though. I'm not going to be quiet and not hold my teammates accountable. So I just got to make sure.
That's for you guys.
Which I appreciate. I appreciate that.
I expect you, like, if you're doing 75 hard while you're calling out from work, we got a problem.
I definitely did not.
Okay, so we're good.
We are good. But this is why I think our show is great and will continue to get greater, because you hold us accountable.
Yeah, you didn't pull a Kyrie Irving. I appreciate that.
I did not.
Let's not compare her to Kyrie Irving ever, please. Thank you.
Kyrie Irving didn't show up for work, and he was caught out partying, celebrating a birthday. Then he was on
a Zoom
for a political candidate. He could do everything except show up for work.
Correct.
So I'm just making sure that you're not going down that same road.
No, I just couldn't get off my bathroom floor for a few days. But we're here.
Not great.
We're living.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Candy, and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. This whole all-in thing with the Cowboys has us worked up this morning because Stephen Jones is saying all-in is bringing back your own. Yet we have no evidence that they're actually working out deals with their own long-term. Even if you know what? You mentioned, we talk about Dak. Dak doesn't have a contract long term, and yes, there's real life personal stuff that he's going through. Well, I don't want to say going through, that dealing with, right? In terms of real life stuff and legal stuff. Micah Parsons is still on the rookie deal. CeeDee Lamb is looking for a new deal, we assume. And oh, by the way, your head coach is on an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. So the idea of keeping your own, that's not all in. Is there a team this offseason that you would say, you know what, that team is clearly going all in? Like, is there a definition of all in and a team with an example that you would say to the Dallas Cowboys, this looks more like all in than what you're doing?
I mean, the Chicago Bears certainly have made a lot of
moves. That's where I was going to go. Like, the Bears look more all in than the Cowboys do, and they're not as good.
I was reluctant to say because it's the Bears, but they've made some really smart moves to fortify themselves and set themselves up for success this year with whoever their quarterback is going to be.
Well, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, the team in their own division, is showing more urgency than the Cowboys. I mean, look what they did last night. They signed Devin White to a one-year deal for $7.5 million.
So are the Commanders,
by the way. They signed Saquon Barkley. Like, you're seeing the Philadelphia Eagles make moves to try to compete for a championship, to try to win it all. While they have Jalen Hurts on a lower cap number because you're in the earlier parts of his contract extension, which is exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're not doing it, the fact that they're not being as aggressive as we're seeing other teams in the NFC, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and I wouldn't classify them all in because they're not closer to a championship. But the Giants and the Commanders also, I think, made smart moves this offseason. So it feels like the Dallas Cowboys are the team that's left lagging behind, and they're the one I would expect to have the most sense of urgency.
You just brought up an interesting team, though. Like, the Giants have had a great one. If the Dallas Cowboys this offseason had this as their offseason, I want you to answer whether or not this would define going all in for the Cowboys. If they were to have added Saquon Barkley, Devin White, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
And Devontae Parker,
on a very cheap deal, wide receiver. Is that going all in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so not to mention Bryce Huff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Bryce Huff, they paid him $50 million.
Okay, so basically the offseason that we're suggesting the Cowboys should have had was had by a team in their division that is considered their biggest rival.
But that's going all in.
The Eagles are
acknowledging we have a good, not elite quarterback, so we're going to put a lot of supremely talented players around him. And the issues that plagued us from a year ago, I don't know, more playmakers, I don't know, our secondary, the back seven of our defense, we're going to address early on in free agency. And they're not all huge moves, right? Like, Devin White is a one-year deal.
No, that's exactly the move that you suggested the Cowboys make.
It's a solid deal.
That's literally, they're making the moves that we suggested them to make. We did not sit here and say, you have to be the highest bidder for Calvin Ridley.
No.
We just said, you got to find value where others don't.
Yes.
And that's what the Eagles have done, to be fair. Now, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But they're attempting for it to work out. Smalls and the Cowboys have not done any of that.
And another parallel between those two teams is the question mark we had at head coach. We talked a lot at the end of the season about if both of those coaches, Nick Sirianni and Mike McCarthy, would survive. And the Eagles are acting with a sense of urgency, saying we've got to push some chips in here, put things around Jalen Hurts in order for him to succeed. But also, if Nick Sirianni's the guy, we need to make sure that we're reloaded so that we can figure that out moving forward. And here, Mike McCarthy is still in the gray area with the Dallas Cowboys.
Joel in St. Louis on 101 ESPN in St. Louis, the home of Michelle Smallman.
First off, the Falcons, I think they went all in.
Yeah, better second, example, right, than the Cowboys.
Well, look, Jerry Jones thinks he's the smartest guy in the NFL. So when he says all in, he means going all in by keeping his team intact because he already thinks he has the pieces in place needed to win a Super Bowl. Whether or not he does or not, that's debatable. But last thing is, let's go Blues.
All right, let's go Blues. Well, they're not that good this year, but let's go Blues always.
Chris in South Carolina listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
So, a lifelong Commanders fan. Or Redskins, if you will, like growing up in the glory days of Riggins and Theismann and the posse. But, you know, to talk about Dallas just simply brings a constant wave of nausea that I've been listening to all morning. And, you know, they're one of the richest franchises in not even just sports, but to not spend the money to go out and get the players, it makes zero sense. But the Commanders, whether it's Drake May, Jaden Daniels, you know, they're putting the pieces together. Thank God Dan Snyder's gone. You know, at least they can breathe a breath of fresh air into that city that I've been longing for my entire life. But thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
All right, thanks.
Yeah,
for the call.
I mean, here's the thing. I like the offseason that all of the other teams in the NFC East have had over what the Dallas Cowboys have done. I mean, you look at the Washington Commanders. They went out and got two decent offensive linemen, two starter-level players in Tyler Biadasz, former Cowboy, and Nick Allegretti, three-time champ from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
On defense, they went out and got Dorrance Armstrong, who's another Dan Quinn disciple from his time in Dallas, Dante Fowler Jr. They went and signed Frankie Louvo, gave him a bunch of money to come in and play.
Bobby Wagner.
Led the league in tackles last year. Like the Commanders are making good moves. The New York Giants traded multiple draft picks in order to bring over Brian Burns, paid him $30 million a year.
Smart move.
This is another smart move. Like, I like everybody else's plan this offseason in free agency in the NFC East, except the Dallas Cowboys.
They're lagging behind big time in their own division.
I'm just laughing at the fact that the Dallas Cowboys actually are last in the all-in power rankings.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
If you actually were to do the power rankings of teams in the NFC East, they're last, and they're closer to 32 than 1 based on a mantra that nobody asked them for. We never said, we don't go around to these teams, hey, what's your mantra for the offseason? What's your tagline? Like, that's the we have a great marketing and promotions person, the wonderful Megan Judge, right? It's her job to come up with marketing and promotions and taglines and brands and stuff like that. Who asked the Cowboys, what's your tagline this year? They gave us a tagline that they're literally the worst at accomplishing.
You think that they would have taken a page out of Russell Wilson's book and realized that that doesn't really work?
Yeah, the tagline is not great.
No. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up to be held by that standard.
Well, you're saying all in, but you're really going Texas Hold'em. Like, that's what you're doing. Like,
okay,
you're holding your draft picks. You're holding your cap space for the future when you're clearly at the end of the window with this core of players.
Just say that right?
What should say that then. But think about it. You couldn't keep Tyler Biadasz, your starting center for the last several years. You're not going to be able to keep Tyron Smith, an all-pro left tackle. Like, you're losing pieces already. Like, you don't know what you're going to do with Zach Martin. Like, that's the part that I don't understand from the Dallas Cowboys. You're starting to lose pieces from the core that puts you in position to win 12 games in three consecutive seasons. I don't understand how you think you're going to get over that hump unless you stop hedging for the future and try to go all in right now. Like, just live up to what you told everybody that you were going to do.
That's right.
Which is, you know, push money into future years when it comes to these contracts. Use future draft picks in order to add players now. It's what teams across all sports do. We see it in the NBA. We see it in Major League Baseball. The teams mortgage prospects and guys to bring over big money, big salary dudes.
Suns, you've been talking about
all the time. The Phoenix Suns. Like, yeah. People
may not work, but they try.
Well, people do this across sports. Like, think about it in the NBA. Forget about it, man. All of these future draft picks, 2027 picks, 2029 picks, 2031 picks. We don't care about those. Nope. We're trying to win a championship now.
Yep.
That's how the Dallas Cowboys should be operating. But they refuse to do it. This is a team that overvalues their own players. They overvalue their own draft picks relative to winning championships. And that is going to be their undoing. Their philosophy on terms of how they acquire players.
And you know what I just thought about? Not only do they need to act with a sense of urgency, A, because they're telling us that they're going to and they're not, and because you have a short window to win based on the talent that you have and because of your head coaching position, but let's not forget how their season ended last year. You were embarrassed by the Green Bay Packers at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You need to change what your team is. You need to do an overhaul and a lot, not total overhaul, but you need to shake things up and you need to make sure that you are better than you were when you ended the season if you think the result is going to be any different. And they haven't done that.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up the Green Bay Packers because that is a franchise that had a reputation for not going out and getting involved in the expensive part of free agency. Even they're getting involved in the expensive part of free agency now. They're going, like, think about it. The Green Bay Packers went out and signed Josh Jacobs.
Yeah,
They gave a ton of money.
They gave Xavier McKinney from the Giants $17 million a year. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going, this is, they're identifying, you know what? We got an opportunity to win this thing. We're going to add top-end talent and pay them a premium because we think that we got a shot with this quarterback. And the Dallas Cowboys won't do it.
I'm going to double down on something.
It's wild to me.
So Gabe Neitzel is a friend of mine that I've known for 20 years. You hear him here on ESPN Radio, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in Milwaukee. And I tuned in the other day to try to hear what they were saying about the Packers offseason. He was off. I texted him. I said, you're taking off during free agency? He goes, when has that ever not been a good time to take off with the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Now it's not a good time. Now it's not a good
right.
time. Because even they identify in the modern NFL, it's what you got to do. You can't hedge when you have a good to really good quarterback.
Good point.
You got to go all in. If you got an elite quarterback, if you got Patrick Mahomes, you can do that. If you got Joe Burrow, you can do that.
Yeah, but if the Cowboys signed Hollywood Brown, you would probably come into the contract they got him. You would probably come in here today and say, you know what, I like that.
Yeah, 1 year up to $11 million.
He hits a million incentives.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
But that's my point.
What are they doing?
They're doing exactly what we've said from the beginning, but they don't want to acknowledge it. They're having a last dance before a first dance. This is it.
But a last dance signifies, though, that you are going all in and pushing all the chips in if you know this is the end of the road.
Fair. So then what they're what they're doing is, we have a lot of expiring contracts. They have 1 year to get this done. If not, we're going in a different direction. Then just tell us that. Just tell us that.
But that even that doesn't make sense. And I know we got to get to a break, but even that doesn't make sense. Because if you go through this season and you don't extend Dak, then he can walk away and you get nothing for him.
Yes.
You get a compensatory third-round draft pick. But that's nothing relative to the value that he could get you in a trade this offseason. So it makes no – what they're doing makes no sense.
And listen, we're a sports and fun show, so I don't want to go too far with this. But based on what we've said, because of the legal stuff going on with Dak right now and the uncertainty there,
you can't extend him, which means you miss
the window to figure out the lowering the cap costs to get other guys in there.
I don't care what Stephen Jones says in terms of how this doesn't impact the negotiations. You can't give a guy $60 million a year and somebody is accusing him of sexual assault or rape. You just can't do that. Like you cannot do that. Like, everybody sees that the Cleveland Browns, what they did with Deshaun Watson was one of the dumbest things that we've ever seen in sports. You can't do that. You can't justify that. So, of course, it's going to impact the timeline in which you pay Dak, or if you pay Dak.
Correct.
We're unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike. unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. Help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Dan Graziano is here, ESPN NFL reporter.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Graz, what does all in mean?
Well, it means what you want it to mean, right?
Look, that is the greatest answer you've ever given. That is literally, you cannot do better than what Graz just did about the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry, it just means whatever you
but
want.
But you know what, though? It actually makes sense because Jerry Jones is somebody that believes 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah.
It's whatever you want it to be.
It's just like Jerry talks all the time, right? And Jerry's always selling, right? He's always spinning. Everything he says has a purpose, but... You know, sometimes it doesn't mean what we think it means. Sometimes he's saying the purpose is to make people who are listening to it happy. And if it sounds good to the fans in January, if you say all in, and then you come to March and you're not doing anything in free agency, those same fans are like, what was he talking about? And he can say, well, you know, we were talking about what we usually do. We're always all in. We win 12 games every year. Like, that's, you know, we like our guys. We draft, we develop, and we keep our players, and that's all in. So it means whatever the speaker wants it to mean. Not the listener, the speaker.
Well said.
That's a great explanation. Graz, the Washington Commanders trade Sam Howell, pick up a third-round pick for it. That gives them 6 picks in the top 100, including the second overall pick in this year's draft. What do you make of that decision, and what do you think about their draft plan overall in terms of what they're planning on doing?
Yeah, I think the expectation is that they'll take a quarterback with that second pick. Now, I mean, we have a long way to go till the draft, and could there be another option? Could someone make them an offer they can't refuse, right, for the second-round pick? And in that case, could they change their plan and go look at other options? But moving on from Howell certainly indicates that they plan to have a new quarterback next year. And they brought in, who'd they sign? Mariota? Right. So he's not going to be the starter. So he's not, right?
You're right.
I mean, when was the last time?
No,
like,
you're right.
Yeah. So he's not at this stage of his career. That's not why you signed Marcus Mariota. So I think the expectation is they'll draft a quarterback at number 2. Which guy? You know, we'll see. If the assumption is the Bears are going with Caleb Williams number 1, then the debate is on. Do you like Drake May or do you like Jaden Daniels?
I want to ask you a question because there's been a lot of speculation that the Washington Commanders would want to try to move up to number 1 to take Caleb Williams because he's from the D.C. area. Could you envision a scenario that the Chicago Bears could justify trading back 1 spot and giving the Commanders that opportunity?
I think something would have to happen during the draft process that made the Bears think twice about Caleb Williams in order for that to happen. I think something has to get them off of Caleb Williams.
Okay.
And now it could, right? I mean, like, he didn't do medicals at the combine, right? What if you give him a physical and you see something you don't like? I am definitely not saying that's out there. I haven't heard anything. But the point is, no one's going to draft anyone without doing the physical first, especially with the first pick. So if something happened during this process and Ryan Poles always talks about being process-oriented. If something happened during this process that sort of scared them off of Caleb Williams or gave them reason to wonder about him with the 1 pick, then yes, I think that pick becomes for sale, and the Bears would not want to move back very far.
Dan, the move that we saw the Commanders make is a move we expected the Chicago Bears to make with Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen next with him?
I think it's getting very difficult for the Bears because the market did not turn out to be what they thought it would be, and they have been asking more for Justin Fields than teams are willing to pay. And so teams move on to options such as, you know, Sam Howell or Desmond Ridder. And I think at this point, the musical chairs are kind of disappearing. And you're at a point with Justin Fields where, like, is the right thing to move him for whatever's being offered just to make sure to do right by him, as Poles said at the combine? or is the right thing to hold on until closer to the draft? And then maybe, you know, the Raiders or the Patriots or the Vikings or one of these teams that we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. Maybe their draft plan for quarterback doesn't go the way they hoped, and they're willing to pay more at that point. That may be where the Bears are at this point with Fields.
Dan, do you think we could see a scenario in which, if it is Caleb Williams, that whoever they take at the number one overall pick, that person and Justin Fields could both be with the Bears to start the season?
I think that's very unlikely. I don't think you can rule anything out at this point, but and they've definitely been out there trying to trade Fields, and I think that they will ultimately do that. I think starting the season or even starting training camp with both of those guys on your roster becomes a real problem for the coaching staff, for anybody that's out there answering questions every day. You know, so I think it's unlikely. Again, you never say never, but that doesn't seem like the ideal situation.
We're talking with Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter here on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. The Chiefs made a move yesterday that is kind of a smaller move in the grand scheme of things, but it's the Chiefs, so it may end up being a bigger one. Hollywood Brown, is this now the time where we're going to see Kansas City make these moves? We're going to be like, you're kidding me. They got this guy for this price?
Well, I mean, yes, because that's what's happened the last couple of years. I mean, a couple of years ago, I think people were saying the same thing when they signed Juju Smith-Schuster, who was a good player for them, right? I mean, it wasn't like a high impact, but he did a lot for them. Now, Hollywood's a different kind of player, and I think if you talk to the Chiefs, they would probably tell you that he's the Marquez Valdez-Scantling replacement, the speed guy, right, that can stretch the field. Not exactly the same player in terms of size, but similar, you know, skill set in terms of his speed. So they always want to have that guy in the offense to create space for everybody else. So he makes sense at the price, and this is what the Chiefs have done at wide receiver the last couple of years. Look for the guy that they think fits at the price that they can pay, and this is the latest of those.
Graz, we hear the Cowboys talk about being all in, but the Eagles are being about being all in with the offseason that they've had last night, being able to sign Devin White, adding to a free agent haul where you got Devontae Parker, you got Saquon Barkley, you got Bryce Huff, you ended up signing C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. What do you make of the free agency cycle that we've seen from the Eagles in week one of the new league year?
I think the Eagles are showing us that they are in a very tight win-now window. I think they look ahead and feel like, you know, it's going to be difficult to keep the roster all together as cap numbers go up at positions like, you know, wide receiver, for example. And this is a big year for them. I think it's an important year for them. So they're all in, looks more like what the fans like. I go back to the trade deadline when we were talking about the Eagles were making all these moves and the Cowboys were doing nothing. And what happened? Like, the Cowboys caught them. Like, the Eagles collapsed. Like, just because you bring in guys whose names people know doesn't automatically mean it's going to work. So I think there are very different philosophies at play here. The Eagles had a lot of holes on the roster. They felt like they had a lot to fix, and the way they felt like fixing it was these free agent signings. We'll see how it goes.
Dan, is there a team that we haven't mentioned that you think did a really good job during this free agency period thus far?
Top of my head, I like a lot of what Houston did. I think they are in a situation where, you know, much like Cincinnati was, like after drafting Joe Burrow, right, trying to hit that window while you have the rookie quarterback playing well. They think they have something special in C.J. Stroud, so build around him. You know, Danielle Hunter, you know, I think Joe Mixon's a good pickup for them. Help their run game. Yeah, I think that's that one jumps to mind. They lost Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. I kind of like what the Giants have done. Brian Burns, I think, is a massive get. And I know they paid a premium price for him, but, you know, he's a difference-making player, and they helped out their offensive line a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, those two, again, without having my sort of spreadsheets in front of me, I think those are the two that kind of jump to mind.
Do you actually have spreadsheets?
Of course. Wow. How do you think we keep track of all this stuff?
I don't know if it's a spreadsheet.
Graz, really quickly, on a more serious note, there are multiple police investigations around quarterback Dak Prescott and accusations that were made about him going back to 2017. I know Stephen Jones said that that's not going to get in the way of the contract negotiations that we're expecting to happen this offseason, but what's your read on that situation in terms of how it impacts the Cowboys doing business with Dak this year?
I think at this point we'll take Stephen Jones at his word, and if more stuff comes to light, then obviously I think the picture could change. But it's not a situation that I feel super comfortable getting into, right? Because we don't, you know, what's out there is what's out there. So I think, I think everybody who needs to look into it will look into it, and what they find will ultimately determine the courses of action. That's not an answer, but I can't really get into that.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Dan Graziano, of course, ESPN NFL reporter. He'll be on the VP campaign trail coming up in a few weeks, and get up today at 8 a.m. Eastern. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Everybody else does.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Boy, did Graz give one heck of an answer. What does all in mean? Whatever Jerry Jones wants it to mean. I mean, that's really what it is with the Dallas Cowboys right now. We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Niners, Chiefs, Super Bowl last year, obviously. They have both made some pretty good additions so far this offseason. But do we think that there is a single team in either conference that has done enough for you to think, you know what? You're close to the Chiefs or better than the Chiefs, or you're close to the Niners or better than the Niners?
Oh, yeah, with the Detroit Lions. What they've done so far in the new league year has been outstanding. I mean, not only did they make the trade for Carlton Davis, who's going to be, you know, help for their secondary, you know, a guy that's already a Super Bowl champion, somebody that can help them, you know, in terms of postseason success. But then they also went out and signed Marcus Davenport and DJ Reader, two defensive linemen that came over with not a lot of fanfare, but that are going to have a huge impact in terms of what that unit is going to look like. So I love what the Detroit Lions are building. They recognize that defense is going to be a sore spot for them, and they added players on the front end and on the back end. So I love what the Detroit Lions have done so far in free agency.
I love what the Baltimore Ravens have done. Justin Madubuike, locking him up to that deal, adding Derrick Henry, giving Lamar Jackson yet another weapon. He just feels like he fits perfectly with that offense and that franchise. They were right there last year, and I love the moves that they've made so far this offseason.
But to overtake the Chiefs?
I'm not picking anybody against the Chiefs. I learned my lesson last year. But I'm just saying I would still put them right there in the conversation.
I think Houston has entered the chat, too. When it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans have entered the chat. They got a dude in C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. Like, I think C.J. is a top five player, and he's ascending. So, I mean, like that's how good this dude is. They added on a defensive end. You know, they went out and they got Danielle Hunter, which I thought was an outstanding get. You're bookending him with Will Anderson Jr. Another guy, Foley Fatukasi, not a big sack guy, but great when it comes to stopping the run. Even better in your locker room when it comes to overall leadership. And then being able to add Azeez Al-Shaair, another off-the-ball linebacker. So to be able to pair him with Christian Harris, I think that's going to be really, really good for them. So, I mean, I like what the Houston Texans are doing. Now, I don't think they're by any means done. Oh, they also got Tonico Autry, another pass rusher. So, I mean, they've done a lot in free agency so far. I don't think they're done. I think they got to go out and get a number one wide receiver.
And Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
That's another guy.
Like got him and extended him.
Got Joe Mixon, extended him. But I think they're going to add another weapon on the offensive side of the ball on the perimeter for C.J. Stroud. But the Houston Texans have done a really nice job knowing that they've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, a guy that has the potential to be elite.
All right, so let's pretend the Kansas City Chiefs don't exist for a second, because I think it is just ridiculous for us to sit here and say this team can win a Super Bowl as long as the Chiefs are in. Like, it's gotten to that point where you're actually making a bold statement by picking any singular team outside of Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. It just means it's, like, kind of dumb, actually, to do that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pretend that Kansas City doesn't exist. Based on 1 week of free agency, we'll overreact big time here. How many teams do you think right now with the additions they made can win the Super Bowl this year? If we pretend Kansas City is not there, we know the Ravens are on that list,
in
right?
The Ravens, in the AFC?
In general.
Okay.
In general.
Well, let's just take it with the AFC first, Smalls. I'll let you have first crack.
Okay, so we said the Ravens and the Texans, both off the board. Who else would I put in that mix in the AFC based on the moves that they've made?
So you're looking at Buffalo, Cincy.
I was going to say, Buffalo and Cincy, I would still always put in that mix based on the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm out on Buffalo. Cincy, I will give you that because they got Joe Burrow, right? I think Joe Burrow is a top three quarterback in the league, and he's probably not three. He's probably two. So, I mean, yeah, I would say That's the list for me. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Houston Texans, the Baltimore Ravens. Hard stop.
So you're out on the Bills totally.
I'm out on the Bills.
Wow.
What about the Jaguars?
I can't go there yet.
No, I can't go there either.
I need more proof of concept.
Well, that's a knock on them, and I think it's fair what you guys said. I think we should have been able to go there by now.
Yeah.
I believe with Trevor Lawrence.
Do you think the Jaguars are going to win their division?
I think it's going to be very tough this year because of the Texans, obviously. I think that I like the Gabe Davis move that they made. They brought in Eric Armstead yesterday, which is a nice move right along that defensive line.
I like it.
So the Jaguars would be that next team. I mean, again, if you see, this is the thing. You guys don't believe in Deshaun Watson. You have every right not to. If you believe Deshaun Watson can be average, the Browns get into that mix. If you believe that Russell Wilson can be average based on the Steelers' potential on defense, maybe that they. I mean, that division is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a really good division, but the bar to clear is the Kansas City Chiefs. And you're asking me, do I think these teams can get close? And the only reason why I picked the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Houston Texans is because I believe in their quarterbacks.
Exactly.
Like, I think all of those guys, that's the thing. I think all of those quarterbacks are top five at the position. That's why I'm saying, yeah, you know what? They might be able to get on that level with the Chiefs because their quarterbacks are that good, and the organizations recognize that, and they're putting the pieces around them to accentuate what those dudes do best.
We haven't mentioned the Dolphins?
No.
We're not going to mention the Dolphins.
Okay.
All right, NFC. The teams that you could say after 1 week of free agency, if we're pretending Kansas City doesn't exist, that you could sit back and say, you know what? If in February they're hoisting Lombardi, it wouldn't be that shocking. Again, pretending Kansas City does not exist. San Francisco's still on there for me.
Sure, same. I'm going to throw Detroit in there still.
Yes.
I'm going to throw Philly in there. I very much like the moves that they've made now. Will they have the attrition at the end of the season that we saw last year? I don't know. But this is a team that 2 years ago was in the Super Bowl. I like a lot of their pieces. I'm going to throw Atlanta in there.
I was waiting for someone to mention that one.
I still have to see it to really believe it. But I love the addition of Kirk Cousins. And I love the offensive weapons that he has.
There's another team that has not been mentioned. Two other teams that have not been mentioned.
I cannot mention the Dallas Cowboys.
That wasn't one of the teams I was thinking of.
The Packers.
The Packers were one.
They're definitely in the mix for me.
I mean, I know you're not going to mention this team, but so I'll go to CeCe on this. The Rams.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say Tampa Bay.
I love the additions of Darius Williams and Cameron Curl. I love those ads for them on the back end of that defense. That's what they needed. That's what they were missing. They went out and they got Jonah Jackson for the Detroit Lions to fortify the interior of that offensive line. I like what the Rams got going. I think they're my favorites going into the draft to win the NFC West.
Wow.
So, over the 49ers.
Over the 49ers. I like what the Rams are building. I like what they got going on. So if you're going to ask me the teams that I wouldn't be surprised if they win a Super Bowl, it's the LA Rams, the Detroit Lions, the Green Bay Packers in the NFC. That's the list.
So you have nobody in the NFC East.
No.
And you're not ready to put the Falcons in there yet.
No.
But if are the Falcons at least a team for you? If they get rolling early, you could see yourself 5 weeks in coming on our show and saying, you know what? I got to rethink the Falcons here a little bit, because that's the way they are for me. If they start rolling early, I could see myself coming in here and say, okay, they really made the right move with Cousins. This team could make some noise. That's not an impossible thought for me.
I put them on the list based on the division.
Yeah, I mean, you know they're going to waltz into the postseason,
exactly.
Right?
And to me, you just have
and
to punch.
And they'll have a home playoff game.
Punch your ticket, you have a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I put them on the list.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I understand that logic. I do. But I'm just thinking about teams that I think can get to the championship rounds and have success. I think it's those three teams in the NFC. I think it's the Rams, it's the Lions, it's the Packers for me.
I still will put the Cowboys and Eagles in there as well. I agree with Smalls and the Eagles, but like, I'm uncomfortable doing that. I'm really uncomfortable doing that because I don't know what the Eagles are relative to the coaching situation.
It's starting to give off Dream Team 2 kind of vibe.
Yeah, and I know Joe Fortenbaugh is going to join us later.
It's starting to feel like the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles. It's feeling like that.
Okay.
With all of the additions that they're making.
Let me ask you a question, though. If I told you they made all these additions, but Belichick or Vrabel was their head coach, would you feel differently?
No, because Nick Sirianni got them to a Super Bowl.
Bill Belichick's won 6 Smalls.
I understand, but I'm saying it's not like they're incapable of getting there.
But if the indication is it feels like a dream team, that is coded for saying they are going to bust. They're going to be terrible, right? That's what you're saying. And then all these guys will be on different teams within 2 years. But if I told you Belichick, because I believe most of us that have anti-Eagles thoughts, whether consciously or subconsciously, go to the head coach. I think we do. I think that we just have this lack of belief in the head coach, fair or not, that it's less about the players they brought in and more about who's running the team.
But if we feel like that, how can we not think that there are some players in that locker room that might feel like that too?
Which would,
especially when Nick Sirianni, during their losing skid at the end of last season, came out in a post-game press conference and said, yeah, if I had the answers, we wouldn't be in this situation. Well, damn it, you the head coach. They pay you to have the answers. I don't care how talented the team is. If the players in the locker room don't believe in the head coach, if they don't trust that the head coach is going to consistently put them in positions to have success, then the team ain't going to do a whole lot of high-level winning.
Yeah.
Just not going
to
happen.
I default more to the quarterback than I do the head coach, which is probably a little unfair, but I'm still a believer in Jalen Hurts.
Coming up, I'm over it. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items around the world in sports and entertainment in his life that he's over. Go ahead, Pat.
What is happening on this show right now? What did I just experience in this break with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman? The amount of Jalen Hurts slander is mind-boggling to me right now.
You missed some stuff, Evan.
Oh, my Lord. Is Jalen Hurts a top 10 quarterback was a question that was just asked. And I just heard C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence are put ahead of Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, has been in the MVP conversation multiple times, played in a Super Bowl, almost beat Patrick Mahomes. Remember that one? What are we talking about?
Just because you're in a Super Bowl doesn't mean that automatically you're supposed to be a top 10 quarterback.
Canty,
I mean, Nick Foles was in a Super Bowl.
Canty,
Carson
give
Wentz
list.
Was a part of that team. Neither one of those dudes are a top 10
Give your list, Canty.
Do you want to hear the list?
Let's hear the list.
Y'all want the list?
I would love the list.
Okay.
This is people you have ahead of Jalen Hurts, right?
Here's my top 10 quarterbacks going into the 2024 season. Patrick Mahomes, number one. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy. That's the list. No room for Jalen Hurts at the end. I'm sorry. No room. Context matters, okay? Just because he was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago, just because he was in the MVP conversation, doesn't mean that he's a top 10 quarterback going into next season. I can't unsee.
Lawrence?
Hold on, let me finish. I can't unsee what I got in 2023, which was a quarterback that turned the ball over 20 times.
Because you got what you saw from Justin Herbert was amazing, right?
Okay. Because those situations are equal with the L.A. Chargers and Brandon Staley and Anthony Lynn versus what we got with the Philadelphia Eagles since Jalen Hurts got there.
When has he been good? When has Trevor Lawrence been good?
Trevor Lawrence got the Jacksonville Jaguars to the playoffs in his second season, and they won a playoff game.
What? Jalen Hurts was in the Super Bowl.
Okay, with the Eagles, a team that won the Super Bowl a few years before that. When have we
five
said Jacksonville?
Years?
When
Those
have we ever said Jacksonville Jaguars the Super Bowl? I'm sorry. When have we said Jacksonville Jaguars the Super Bowl? Anybody? When have we said Jacksonville Jaguars the Super Bowl? They hired Urban Meyer, who couldn't make it through the first season as the head coach in Trevor's rookie year, and he found a way to overcome it. What the hell are you talking about, Pat?
We're going to act like they were they could have gone to the AFC Championship game if they didn't get robbed against the Patriots. So they've had some.
That was the AFC Championship.
Oh, that was the AFC Championship game where they got robbed. Yeah,
so they got robbed.
Well, because that fumble pickup, that whole thing reversed.
Have the Jacksonville Jaguars ever been to Super Bowl? No. Have they ever been in the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
All right.
But hold on.
The Eagles were just in the Super Bowl in 2017. Right.
That was 5 years before Jalen Hurts played the game.
They still had players from that Super Bowl team on the Super Bowl team in 2022. So what are we talking about? That's what I'm saying. The context around it matters. Jalen Hurts inherited a much better situation than C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, or Trevor Lawrence. And Pat, if you're being honest, you would take any one of them three quarterbacks over the guy you got right now in Jalen Hurts.
I'm still stunned that Michelle Pett, you mentioned Jordan Love. What are we doing? What are we talking about?
I'm all in on Jordan Love.
I'm all in on Jordan Love, too.
He's
that just means you'll bring him back if you're the Packers.
Michelle, please explain.
That's what all in means?
Please explain. Did you watch him last year?
Why you think Jordan Love is better than Jalen Hurts?
Because they should have beaten the 49ers and been in the Super Bowl. Some of the throws he makes are unbelievable.
He was the best quarterback in the NFL after week 10.
Yes.
Period. By any metric, touchdown interception ratio, QBR, he's the best quarterback after week 10.
The guy can ball.
That's what you need to know.
This is absolutely insane.
Okay.
I'll take Jalen Hurts if nobody wants him.
I didn't say nobody would want him. I just said he's not a top 10 quarterback. It's not slander. It's just what it is.
Would you put him at 11?
I'm not taking Jalen Hurts off over any of the quarterbacks on this list.
Well, I think the key is going into this season, right? That you preface it by saying that, and that's where the Herbert argument comes in, because we rightfully assume that Harbaugh will get the most out of Herbert.
Yes.
And getting the most out of Herbert probably looks really good.
I think I'd take Jalen Hurts over Brock Purdy. I know that sounds crazy because he was just in the Super Bowl, but that's...
No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that he played in the Super Bowl.
That's probably the only one
context matters, Michelle.
I would trade him out for.
All right, Pat.
He can't even pivot.
You got a haircut, right? I noticed.
Glad you noticed.
I'm glad you noticed, because if you don't notice, he gets upset.
Yeah, Javonte said, oh, Pat, nice haircut. And Nuno didn't say anything.
This is interesting. Pat's one of these people that if he gets a haircut and nobody says anything, he gets bothered by it.
Interesting.
Well, no, it was that Javonte said something, and then Nuno heard him and didn't say anything and said, oh, yeah, I noticed. So he just openly didn't want to compliment me because he's rude.
Well, getting a haircut doesn't mean you look good. It just means you have less hair. So maybe
we've all had a bad haircut.
Yeah. What is the compliment?
Oh, wow. Jeez.
No, I'm just saying if somebody gets a haircut, that doesn't mean they automatically look better.
It's just an acknowledgement. I didn't need.
But you said he should have complimented you.
He could have said something.
Right. What you realize now is he doesn't think your haircut looks good.
Well, neither does his. So it's fine. apparently we're banning TikTok now. What are we doing? We don't have bigger problems in the world, right? We have to ban TikTok. One of the only things that people like doing is going on TikTok and, you know, experiencing the world together. And we're banning it. Why? We can't focus on more important things? What are we doing? We're taking away things people enjoy?
Amazing? Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy, I guess started a TikTok for our show recently, which I didn't even know we had.
Yeah.
And he literally said to us the other day, hey, we had a really good week with all this giant stuff that we put out there around Saquon. So now they're shutting it down as a result. So Unsportsmanlike did well on TikTok this week, and now they're going to shut it down?
But here's what I don't understand. There are other social media platforms that people can use, though, right?
But TikTok's so fun.
Is TikTok the worst thing? Is it the end of the world?
What's your power ranking number one?
Instagram number one.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say
I use X more. Me too. Like I've got X up when we're doing the show. So
Twitter/X
would be number two for me.
I would say Instagram number one from an entertainment perspective, TikTok two from a functionality and work perspective, Twitter/X two.
About how much you use them though? Like in terms
so
of
so definitely X more.
Exactly.
For work, because that's where all sports news and information. But because of the check marks, it's so hard for me to decipher who's who anymore.
Yes.
A lot of nastiness lives there, and it's very convoluted for me now.
Sure.
And Facebook is a far, far, far.
Yeah, better. Yeah. Ain't nobody's. I'm not
well, YouTube is the number one in the world.
Facebook is for baby boomers now.
One of the harshest
disses Gen Xers
that I've ever heard somebody say to somebody is they looked them up and down and said, "You look like you're really active on Facebook."
Yes,
that is a diss.
Yeah. It is.
If somebody says to you, "You look like you're really active on Facebook,"
well, what does that mean? To translate that, that just means you're old and dorky. Like, what does that mean exactly?
And
because I'm not on Facebook, but I probably look like I'm active on it. Like,
you're a certain caliber person.
Power rankings. Yeah. She said Instagram, X, Twitter, TikTok. Second, like you're putting Facebook first if you're very active on Facebook. And like to choose Facebook over Instagram or X or TikTok, that is highly questionable.
I'll say this. I get a lot of weird stuff on social media anyway. I had to deactivate my Facebook account because it was so gross and weird, the stuff that I was getting.
I didn't even know
people
still used Facebook.
I agree, Pat. I'm with you on that one.
I didn't even know I still had it, and I went to check it, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is a scary place.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Pat, you should not do that. Next one, Pat.
Jeez. people shame me for never eating Taco Bell in my life, and I don't understand why. I've never had it, and it's just never been a thing for me. Didn't really grow up in eating it. It's not a personal attack on Taco Bell. I don't really feel either way about it.
I love Taco Bell.
It just never happened. You know what? Taco Bell, come through. Sponsor, right here.
I've never had it sober.
What's up?
Yeah, I need Taco Bell on a late night.
I've had it as a fourth meal.
Yeah,
I've never had it sober.
Yeah, I'm not making the choice to go to Taco Bell for lunch or dinner. Like, that is absolutely a late night move. Like nothing else open. Oh man!
A taco
would hit right now. Yeah,
Javante loves
Mexican
Taco Bell.
Pizza, gordita, chalupa. Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
We also learned today that Smalls has never had ginger ale in her life.
Never.
That to me is odd.
When I'm sick, I've had Sprite or Gatorade.
Ginger ale's great. I would drink ginger ale non-sick. I love ginger ale.
Canada Dry, man.
Canada Dry, so good.
I'm gonna get one after the show.
You'll start to feel better. You've been sick for the last few days. You're going to feel better immediately. Saltines and Canada Dry, and away you go.
Yeah, I left my emergency bag of saltines in my kitchen this morning. I'm a little panicky right now.
Emergency bag of saltines?
I've had food poisoning for the past few days. I have an emergency bag of saltines that I packed for the show, and I left it in my kitchen. I'm a little nervous.
We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.